Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Winding down the month, we got three major releases coming out tomorrow. It's continuing to batter on our wallets, boys. I'm not sure how much we can handle anymore.
Well, based on the payday I just got today, I can handle quite a lot. Moving on. And also joining us is Tellius Tyler.
But you still won't have the $20 that I owe you.
Nope.
So, you know,
I am waiting with bated breath. It's only been 2.5 years since you promised me to pay me for that.
It has been a minute, hasn't
yes.
it?
It's been a Nintendo minute.
Yeah, it was good. The check is in the mail. Did you check the mail today?
Yes.
Okay. Well, tomorrow could be the day.
Gosh. For those who don't remember, Tyler was basically broke and he wanted to get a game so he could actually do a review for the website. And me, being the benevolent host and friend that I am, decided to lend him the $20. And his exact words were, "I will pay you as soon as possible." 2.5 years later, still waiting.
Listen, I just don't have $20 still. I am going minute by minute. You know what the real problem is? I just don't know how to send it to you. Like, I would send it to you right now.
It's
but,
called PayPal.
You know,
that's how
you're
I tell
a
PayPal.
Secret guy. Can I go to my bank account and just link that to the PayPal and send it that way?
We'll talk about this later.
You know, it's a whole thing. This is complicated. You know what? Let's just not talk about it. We'll figure it out some other time.
Oh, boy.
Just, you know, maybe
all right,
2 or 3 more years.
Tyler's money problems aside, I was going to make a Legend of Zelda joke, but I'll wait. We do have a fun show for you today, including talking about the upcoming Link's Awakening remake release. Say that 5 times fast. But first, we're going to start off with, what have you been playing? Oh, Moneybags, why don't you go first?
I have been playing the Blue Lion's Path of Fire Emblem Three Houses on Maddening Difficulty. And listen, I know that I'm amongst friends here who will not twist my words into something that I don't mean. I'm sure that won't happen when I tell you that the Blue Lions run has been my favorite by a fairly decent margin. And that is not to say that I like them more than the Golden Deer, because that is not true. I prefer the Golden Deer. But it is so much fun playing this game on Maddening. It's everything that I hoped it would be. It's actually hard, but not too, too hard. I've never had a game over. I've never failed. I've had to use Divine Pulse plenty of times, and I've run out of my 3 charges plenty of times, but have always been able to pull through in the last possible moment, making every battle feel that much more satisfying. It's actually tough. I actually have to use my brain, and I have to plan out my students' paths ahead of time, because if I don't have them in the right classes, it's going to be tough. They're going to be outmatched by the enemies, even more so than they already are. I guess the baseline way to describe it is the enemies are like 5 to 6 levels higher than you are, at least in the beginning of the game. I just completed chapter 4, where you first run into the Death Knight, and the enemies were level 14, and Dimitri is my highest guy, and he finished at level 10 after that level. So the enemies are definitely stronger than you are, which means you have to use tactics to figure out how to beat them, rather than just using blunt force, which you can really just get away with in the rest and the other paths. It's definitely made me value gauntlets more as well. Every single character pretty much uses gauntlets because they weigh so little and it won't cost them speed, because the enemies naturally are way faster than you as well. Only Felix and Dimitri are fast enough to double at any point, and they have to be using gauntlets. But I will say Felix with gauntlets, with his crest, he is just as good. It feels like he's playing on normal despite the difficulty boost, because he's just that much of a boss. And I will say I love the Blue Lion students, except for Mercedes. Her voice is too annoying. But they are delightful. I love their interactions with each other. You can tell a lot from the first cutscene when you pick the house and they're like, "Whoa, you're a professor?" I didn't really like the Black Eagles that much during that scene. I really loved the Golden Deer, and the Blue Lions I loved as well. They have a good rapport with each other, and they're in house supports are phenomenal. Felix's and Sylvain's C conversation was intense. Felix basically is just like telling Sylvain to just, you know, just run away. Like, he hates him. He just is like, you are the worst. You are worthless. You are, you're holding us all back. And it's just, it's intense. Like, there are these longtime friends, and you see Sylvain, like, actually get cut by Felix's words. And I was impressed by that. I thought the writing was really, really good for most of those C supports, which I don't really think is true in the other paths. I think you have to wait longer to get to know the characters in those. But I've really taken a shine to the Blue Lion's house and playing on this difficulty. I do think this is my favorite run of the game yet. And I have to be fair, I might end up liking them more than the Golden Deer when it's all said and done, because Dimitri is the coolest. He is great. And I just, I love the darkness behind his character that you can see, and it just is, it flashes for moments in the early game, and knowing what's going to happen, you would think it would take away from the power, but no, I'm just so excited to see when it hits the wall, as they say.
It's going to be good, trust me.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. So I definitely recommend, if you have played Three Houses in the past and you thought it was too easy, give this a look, because it's harder, and you definitely have to use tactics to succeed, but not, it's not impossible. I think they did a really nice job with it.
Also, told you so. Like, I mean, Todd, I mean, the Golden Deer,
yeah,
man, and
listen,
Claude,
the
and all
the
of them.
Yeah, Claude's the best.
Just wait until you get to the Blue Lions. I don't know, yeah, man. Yeah, it's going to be hot. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, told you so.
They don't come across, the Blue Lions don't come across as well in the not Blue Lions playthrough.
Well,
it seems so, like, they're not, like, they don't reveal, it doesn't reveal the depths of their character as much. Like, seeing them around the monastery. No, true, but I think that the Golden Deer, maybe it's because I knew them, but I would say the same for characters like Petra. They come across as so lively in the other paths. When you just see them in the monastery, they're very interesting. Whereas I felt like the Blue Lion, Sylvain was always flirting with someone, and Ingrid was always talking about being a knight, and there wasn't the depth that you find. But I think the cool thing is the Blue Lions all have, well, not all, but the main four lords, or I guess nobles, Ingrid, Felix, Sylvain, and Dimitri, are childhood friends.
Yeah.
And I love that shared history, because it comes through in their conversations. You can tell that they know each other. They did a great job of writing that. Whereas the Black Eagles felt disconnected and chaotic, the Blue Lions feel like a unit, you know, and just, they feel like a unit destined for disaster. And I can't wait to see how it shakes out.
Yep, everyone dies. Moving on. No, it's just not. But going back to your point, is like, I feel the same way about the Golden Deer, because when I saw them, like, in my runs of Blue Lions and then the pure Black Eagles run, you know, I didn't see much that impressed me. Now that I have them, now that I'm with them, and I have their, you know, support conversations, and Claude especially is quickly winning me over. I mean, I'm deep into part two now, or deep enough into part two now, where you get to see more of his personality, and I didn't get to glimpse that really in the runs of Blue Lions and Black Eagles, just because that wasn't what the story was about. But now I see it, and I'm like, oh, this is why he's this way, and that matters. So I could see why you thought one thing and then learned another. I was the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with my runs, I have been playing. Okay, I'm going to rephrase that. I have been trying to play Fire Emblem Three Houses, because I have been so slammed with work the last week or so. It's almost never ending, and it sucks. Because my goal when I finished Astral Chain was to beat the Golden Deer run, because I was in part two when I stopped to play Astral Chain to review it for the website within 2 weeks of release. And so when I got back onto it, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna beat the Golden Deer storyline, and then I'll be able to, you know, jump into Leek's Awakening. I'm like 2 story chapters in, because I got into it, and then I had to, you know, play catch up with the support conversations, and then, you know, you're getting back into like the monthly schedules, and wasn't just like jumping from story chapter to story chapter.
Yeah.
And you know, it's I will of course beat it eventually, there is no doubt, but it's going to take time, especially now that Link's Awakening is about to come out, and I will definitely be playing that. And I will say this, I do have a small concern, and Tyler, you'll understand this when you get further into part two with Blue Lions. I feel that some of the beats of the early part two chapters are too similar to the Blue Lions, including but not limited to actually having the same names of the chapters.
Yes. The church run was like that. That's why I actually agreed.
Really?
The church run was literally the Golden Deer path without Claude. And it just, it was fun. I didn't like the Black Eagles as much as I liked the Golden Deer, so I just right away felt like it was missing something.
Huh.
And without a main leader, Seth just fills in that role. And it's just like, it's not as good. It did have a nice ending, but I was like you said, it takes so long to finish a run. I had actually started my Blue Lions run before finishing the church run, and I wanted to keep going with that, but I thought, no, I have to finish this church path. And it took me the whole weekend, even though I only had 3 chapters, because there's just the months take a long time to do.
They can. So I'm only a few chapters in it, and while I know that it will eventually change up, because I know of certain things that's going to happen already because of, you know, slight small spoilers and cutscenes that were in like the Accolades trailer and all that, it is a little concerning, but we'll see how it goes. Still very much enjoying the game. I get to watch the support conversations for days.
Mm-hmm.
Some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And still having a lot of fun. And then I, of course, have been playing Fire Emblem Heroes. I was attempting to have a bunch of orbs ready for the new banner, which dropped today. And I had about 250 when I entered today.
Whoa.
And within my second summon, my literal second summon, I got the Norde, the Archer Girl.
Norn?
Yeah, I got her. And so, like the idiot that I am, I'm like, oh, I can keep going. I should keep going, try and get another character. So, you know, 50 orbs later, I have nobody, and I'm like, okay, take a breath. You're fine. Step away. About 5 hours later, I come back, and I'm like, okay, wait, I haven't done the story chapters yet. I can get back up to 200 orbs, do another 50, see where I'm at. 47 orbs later, still don't have anybody. I'm getting kind of mad because in the course of 2 summon runs, I literally summoned 3 of the same 5 characters 2 different times.
Oh.
Like, I summoned Tharja, one of the wing Pegasus wing sisters.
Oh, okay. Catra.
Yeah, Catra. There we go. Got Catra 2 times, and it was just like, I'm like, I just summoned you. How is that physically possible that I summoned you in 2 different summon runs? And then I accidentally hit redeem when I meant to hit go back, because the last orb I had was a colorless, which is where you get Norn. And I accidentally hit redeem, which means I had to summon that orb. And I literally said to myself, watch as I get a 5-star here. And it did.
Jinx.
Yeah, and it was, of course, a copy of a character I had already had. And I was just like, you know what, that's it, I'm done. And so I have like 150 orbs left, which is fine. I still got to do the story chapters, the 2 more times, and then forging bonds will give me another, you know, 20 orbs or so, plus the login bonuses. I'm attempting to continue to rank up. I'm currently trying to do Aether Wraiths for the first time, so I can get to rank 10 and move on. But we'll see how that goes. But
I don't
just
know how you guys can play Heroes still. I just can't. I tried. It's just too frustrating. Like, you summoning the characters is just not fun at this point. And the game is just, it's so shallow. I just can't. Compared to Three Houses, it's just, I can't spend any effort on it.
Well, you've been spoiled.
Yeah, I have. Pretty much. It's just like, yeah, it's over for me in Heroes.
That's fine. But for me, it's not a question of shallowness. It's literally a question of timing. Because when I play Heroes outside of the summoning session I did today around, you know, 5 o'clock, I always play Fire Emblem Heroes at around midnight to 1 a.m. when I'm starting to unwind for the night. I put on an episode of Mythbusters, and I just start playing Fire Emblem Heroes while it's playing. And, you know, I just start playing it, and especially when it's during the Tempest Trials, because I can do about 5 or 6 runs in the Tempest Trials while I'm watching an episode of Mythbusters, and that's how I get all my points. So for me, it's just I save time every day when I need to, at least, to play Fire Emblem Heroes so that I can, you know, keep getting orbs, so that when a new banner comes out, I can try and get the thrill of, you know, having new characters to play as and blah, 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 blah.
I've been there.
Like, I know the joy of playing Fire Emblem Heroes while something is on in the background. I wish I could have that back, but I can't.
And I'm pretty much in the same club as you, Todd. Like, for me, work has been kind of been killer lately of recent legs. I only just managed to go and get some, like, very little bit of game time myself. Like, with me, Fire Emblem Heroes, Surprisingly, I actually got a new 5-star. I think I got a 5-star in Talia, something like that. Yeah, what? And just like here and there, basically playing here. But like even with Fire Emblem Heroes, I kind of like been on the light side of things. I just want to like get some orbs, get the things. I'm at the point of kind of like I don't really care as much as like getting all like fulfilling the entire Tempest Trials reward list. So I'm like, eh, okay. Well, if I get as much like orbs I can, I'll be satisfied. I'm not really like as emphasized as getting everything in Fire Emblem Heroes, but. Also, just this past weekend, I managed to I'm almost finishing up with Astral Chain. I just have one more case to do. I just love that penultimate chapter of like facing your own sister, spoilers, or brother, sibling. And yeah, I gotta give props. I love that face off with your sibling. It's just like that was like a very good highlight moment. Like
Yeah.
if you understand the chapter, then you know, yeah, that penultimate chapter. And yeah, overall it's just kind of been light for me. I just really played the Code Vein demo of for PS4, just basically making up my characters to get ready for the official release that's coming out next week. And overall, I gotta say, like the Code Vein demo, this current build of it feels a lot more smoother. And plus, they added a lot more things to it, like from actually using its jukebox in the hub world, in your hub. In your hub, as well as like a couple of little additions to it. Like they really improved it in this current beta. So for me, I just can't wait to see how the full game is that's coming out next week. So yeah, Code Vein, can't wait. And yeah, overall it's kind of light. I mean, personally for me, I'm not really looking forward to Link's Awakening. I know, call me blasphemous. Yes, call me blasphemous. Call me blasphemous.
Okay, you're
But
blasphemous.
like. Well, I was thinking about actually probably getting that game Blasphemous, but I wouldn't think about that. But yeah, for me, I'm just waiting for my amiibos to come in right now. I got my Snake Amiibo coming up on Best Buy. I want to get my second Snake Amiibo once I head to Nintendo NY. So that's what I'm basically preparing up for right now.
Will, did you ever finish your Crimson Flower Three Houses run?
I currently right now I'm stuck in Astral Chain, so I have not gone back to Three Houses as of yet.
You're not gonna finish it.
Nope.
You're not
I
gonna finish
will
it.
eventually.
You're not gonna finish
He's not gonna finish it.
it. After all the grinding he did, he's not gonna finish it.
I will.
Yeah.
Oh, I will. At least I can get at least one run in. Come on, give me a break.
Wow, one
I
run.
don't know. I
Let's
doubt it.
clap. Clap for Will, getting him one run done. We knew you could do it
Excuse
eventually.
me, princesses. You guys want to go be invested in it? I have other priorities. So excuse me, princesses.
Really, priorities. Tyler, haven't we like done other things while also playing hours upon hours of Fire Emblem Three
I
Houses?
would
I
say I've done
mean,
a nice job of balancing playing hours and hours of Fire
yeah.
Emblem Three Houses
And I mean,
and responsibilities.
I mean, I've played that and Astral Chain and reviewed Astral Chain, and I've done a whole bunch of Fire Emblem Hero stuff, plus my work, plus my comics, and yet I'm still like, 2.5 paths in. You're three.
Yep,
So
yeah.
like, what's your excuse exactly? You're busy? We aren't? Kind of getting mixed signals here, Will.
Yeah, I would have to say that Will doesn't love the game as
No.
much as me. I would say we were kind of
Hello,
siding
you're
with
talking to
Edelgar.
hello. I think you forgot the image that you're talking to a bloody casual here. I mean, again, you two are the most hardcore Fire Emblem viewers here in this NEP podcast. I'm just the one who just are here for along the ride. Thank you.
You know what we call people like Will, right, Tyler?
Clowns or haters?
Hatish.
Yeah, both. I would say clown
Yeah,
haters,
yeah.
honestly.
Yeah.
Excuse me,
he's
princesses.
only here for the waifus. It's so
Pennyworth
sad.
looking, or not Pennyworth, what's,
Do
oh my
not judge
gosh.
me, dear sus.
Pennywise looking.
Pennywise.
Pennywise looking.
Pennywise. Come on, play Fire Emblem Three Houses, Will. You'll float too. All right, our bashing of Will aside, there has been some rather interesting news in the world of Nintendo, both gaming and otherwise. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And I am very, very happy to talk about this first topic because it came out of nowhere because of timing and region, and then it just blew up into its own thing. If you have not heard, this is a spoiler from the upcoming episodes of Pokemon Sun and Moon Ultra Challenge. Hold on. Yeah, Ultra Challenge. And basically, in no uncertain terms, Ash is going to win the Alola League. Yep, Ash is finally becoming a Pokemon League official champion. Now, I already hear you dedicated anime watchers out there. I am one of them. But you're like, well, wait a minute, Todd. Didn't he win the Orange League? And didn't he win the Battle Frontier? And yes, he did win that one. And those were official championships. However, those were not official region Pokemon leagues. The Orange League was about the Orange Islands, which had a different setup than the Pokemon League. And the Battle Frontier was an entirely different setup, which didn't even have a league at all. It was just he had to defeat certain gym leaders, for lack of a better term, in certain kinds of competition. That was entirely different. Accolades to be proud of, but not official league victories. Until now, he is the first ever Pokemon League champion of Alola. Now, if you're wondering why you have not seen this is because it was revealed in the Japanese version of the cartoon, which obviously comes out before the American version because of the dubbing. So we'll get this in about like a month and a half or so, give or take. So, yes, after 22 years of hoping and praying that Ash will get to be a champion, he's finally going to be a champion. And
This
just so
was
you.
kind of beautiful, right? Like
Yes.
I really liked it. I thought that there would be some people who were like, no, because they've definitely said before that like Ash, if Ash won, that would be like it, which is obviously not true at this point. They're not going to end Pokemon
Well,
anime.
not in the way we're thinking, but I'll get to that later.
But yeah, I don't. I was kind of moved by it. It was a nice old school lesson in perseverance. You know, he kept grinding, he kept grinding, and he finally broke through.
Yes. It's just hard to believe again, like pretty much like many of us pretty much were at the genesis of Pokemon since in Ash's first journey. And now like just finally see him pay off through many iterations, through many art styles, to finally won a Pokemon League. It's just like, wow, I never thought I'd see the day.
Pretty
Like
That's
I
a
could
great
eat
point,
if
Will. It's
you
a shame that this is like the ugliest looking Ash I think they've ever had. The
It
original is clearly the best.
is.
Like, the original is such a good stylistic take. I love it.
Yeah.
And the other ones are good. There are plenty. There's none that aren't good until this one, which I just don't really like.
Yeah.
But
That's the irony here is that if you look at all the other characters in Sun and Moon, they don't look like Ash. And I don't mean that like the character-wise, I mean like style-wise. They feel like regular Pokemon characters,
yeah, Gladion looks just like a normal.
and then Ash just looks different, and it's weird. And I never understood the difference in the art style. I always liked XYZ Ash. There was just something crisp about that and everything. But as in all things, it's a preference. So here's how I came into this knowledge. So I wake up in the morning. I go into Heroes and I get my rewards and blah blah blah. So then I go into Twitter and I start scrolling and then I see a thing saying Ash won the Pokemon League and I'm like, oh crap, I don't need to see this. That's a spoiler. I mean, it was hinted that this would be the time, but you never know. And then I go onto the computer to do some work and I quickly scroll through other things and then another website had it and it said Ash has finally won the Pokemon League and I'm like. Okay, well, I guess this was unavoidable. I was gonna get spoiled either way, so I don't feel as bad. And then, like, all of a sudden, I go back to Twitter, and it's like numerous news sites are just posting about this. ESPN, Deadline, CNN, because apparently Ash is political. Who knew? America's relations with Japan was clearly dependent on Ash Ketchum winning the Pokemon Alola League. That would have been a hilarious news story. Imagine if this had come out on April 1st. So I'm just like, holy crap, this is like really a thing. And like the internet is blowing up about it. Veronica Taylor, who was the original voice of Ash Ketchum, actually congratulated Ash and the other, voice actor who's doing him now. And, there was the people behind the Pokemon team talking about what this meant and how Ash had finally won a thing or a Pokemon League. And it's just this growing event. And I kid you not, before the podcast, I was listening to the Death Battle cast. Which I listen to every Thursday before the podcast, and they were talking about it because of how important like Pokemon was to them, and it's just like this is like a global acceptance because for years, Ash got closer and closer and closer, and I actually charted it out There was a point where every Pokemon League, except for one, he actually kept advancing where he ended. Like, for example, in the Indigo League, he lost in the round of 16 to Richie. Then in Johto, he made it to 8. Hoenn, he made it to 4. And then I think he took a ba step back in Sinnoh, went advanced again to the Final Four in Unova, and then in Kalos, which is one of my favorite seasons by far, he made it to the finals where he lost to a guy, I can't remember his name now, and his Mega Charizard. This is when he had Mega Greninja, and an absolutely beautiful, fantastic battle. It was Mega Greninja versus Mega Charizard. And of course, type doesn't matter here, so Mega Charizard X beat Greninja. But, it was just a great battle, and now we're finding out that he's finally won a Pokemon League, an official Pokemon League, and it's just like, finally, you did it! And I can confirm via people who have leaked it, his final Pokemon in the match that he wins is not Pikachu.
No.
It is not. I will not spoil who it is because I want you to see for yourself, but he does not win it with Pikachu. Pikachu's in the battle, but he does not win it with Pikachu, which I
Pikachu
find.
does a nice job. Pikachu really comes in
Yeah,
and
I
you're.
don't know spoilers,
No,
but
yeah, I know, but I'm just going to tell people out front that Pikachu
yeah.
does do. He's a more than a role player here. He would like the Dwayne Wade to the other Pokemon's Braun.
Oh boy.
Oh gosh, but yeah, but for me, like you said, Tyler, this is like a tale of perseverance because I too have read articles that said that the reason Ash loses is because when he wins, it's over, and that's not true. He wins at one thing, but he still has other things to go. Now, yes, like when he lost the Indigo League and he won the Orange League. He was high on his horse. Then he went and fought Gary Oak, who of course put him down, and then he's like, I gotta get stronger. And so that's when he went to Johto, and which turned into Hoenn, which turned to Sinnoh and Unova and Kalos and all of them. And then Alola was an accident because it was a vacation kind of thing, and that was fine enough. But the dream has still always been he's got to win a Pokemon League, because if he keeps losing, then what's the point? All right, we've endured it enough that he keeps losing, and he wins like these, let's call it the side tournaments or the side missions or anything. Like he won a junior league in Unova, I would think, and it was important, but still, it's not the same. And now that he's won an official Pokemon League, which I still can't wait to see the episode to see Ash reacting to him winning.
Charlie Brown never kicked the football, though, and he was still an icon. So I
This
will say he
this is
didn't have to
true,
always win.
but the difference between Ash and Charlie Brown is that Ash has always been the optimistic guy. Charlie Brown has always been the pessimist.
No, Chuck Brown is one of the most optimistic guys out there. He just keeps grinding. Okay, maybe not like he wakes up and he's like, man, this is going to be an amazing day for me. I'm Chuck. But he's optimistic in his own way. He comes out there and he keeps playing ball no matter what.
I still think the best pun off of the Charlie Brown skit was Robot Chicken, where they actually had him kicking Lucy instead of the football. I don't condone that kind of violence, but it was hilarious nonetheless.
Chuck would never.
He didn't Robot Chicken. Didn't Robot Chicken. Anyway, but yes, congratulations to Ash and his team. I look forward to seeing the episode, and to all the Pokemon fans who helped make this news the big explosion that it was. No matter whether you are young or old, this was what we've been waiting for. And the reason I brought up the whole not the reboot thing, or to go off of what you said, Tyler, there is another series already in the works, and it's just called Pokemon. There's no subtitles attached to it, and when they did like the quote teaser for it, they showed every single starter generation leading up to Alola. They don't have Galar in there just yet. And so there's a lot of questions about what this means, whether Ash will be in the reboot, and what's coming next. So lots of questions. Now, a lot of people don't want to see Ash go away after, finally winning the big one. And of course there's the Galar region he can still explore. So, but there's a lot of questions about what's next for the Pokemon series. So, curious times. Curious times. All right, sticking with Pokemon, but going back to the games, we have gotten another trailer, in this case a mini trailer, and it revealed a brand new Pokemon, or more specifically, a new Pokemon evolution for a classic Pokemon. Because Farfetch'd has just evolved into Sirfetch'd. That's Sirfetch'd to you. Actually, if you recall the mini trailer, it was actually kind of a Scottish theme in the background. So it'd be more like, that's Sirfetch'd to you, laddie. Can you all see my leek sword and my shield? Get it? Sword and shield. Because it's like a Pokemon thing. Yeah.
You know, it started off like kind of solid, not good, but kind of solid. And then I think like it felt like it was slipping and it showed in the work. Your impression just kind of slowly slipped from like, mediocre to just
my
not
Scottish accent.
Quite there. You know, it was a good try. Sirfetch'd, though, am I saying that correct? Sirfetch'd?
Sirfetch'd.
He does look pretty cool. I will say I like the leek sword. I like the shield. Farfetch'd has always been an underappreciated Pokemon that I would probably use more if he was remotely competent at fighting, but he's not, so that's the problem. If Sirfetch'd is good, I'm in. He's going to be on the team.
Like, when I first saw the Pokemon, it was like, Sirfetch'd, like the jouster, like the evolutionist. It's like, okay, have a giant leek lance with the shield, with the leek shield, and like, has his own specific ability, which is like, okay. The one thing I'm kind of find it funny is like, this Pokemon is gonna be exclusive to Pokemon Sword and not Shield, which is kind of funny because again, he uses a sword and shield, so I don't know why the exclusive to Sword, so that's kind of a funny bit. But I gotta give props, like, just like, once he got announced that the artwork, including the cosplays of his, like, okay, yep. Make the artwork, make all that artwork of Sirfetch'd. Like, who has the most smuggest face of it there is? He is just so smug.
The you know what? The innocent people who don't follow Will on Twitter might take that as an innocent comment. But those of us who do know the dark truth of what Will is talking about.
No. I'm talking about the artwork. Like, there are like some legit artwork that is pretty dang impressive.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm being legit serious.
Okay. I saw a tweet from old what's her face, Jessica, don't know her last name, that Will may have retweeted that was a little more suggestive.
You seriously do not like her, honestly? Wow.
I find the promotion of lewd Sirfetch'd a little too much. That's just me.
Wait, are you talking Jessica Negri?
Yes, I didn't want to mess up her last name.
Oh yeah, Negri the cosplayer.
Yes.
Yeah, she does take things far at times.
Yes.
And I mean, again, it's like, with the internet, of course, Gajinkas is always like that. Like, of course, they gotta put it there, all spins. I mean, heck, it's the internet. You can't stop them.
That's true.
Yes, we can. We can try. We can try, Will!
You can
One
try.
One blocker mute at a time.
It's Heil.
So, well, as for me, I agree. Sirfetch'd looks great. Bless me, bagpipes. Scrooge McDuck, the true greatest.
I miss him now. I miss him now. Sheesh.
Hey, don't knock David Tennant. Anyway, so I do agree. Sirfetch'd looks good. Ironically, this was not a new Pokemon in terms of reveal. It's just a new Pokemon in terms of timing, because Farfetch'd had always had this evolution. It just was never used. There were Pokemon plans revealed from the first games, including another evolution for Pikachu that was never used. And so they eventually, I guess, kept the Farfetch'd one, and now we have Sirfetch'd. Sirfetch'd. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. And, of course, we're going to get more reveals. We're now less than 2 months away from Pokemon Sword and Shield coming out, so I expect more reveals like this. We still only know, like, what, 20 Pokemon from Galar? So we still got more to go, and it's going to be interesting.
Yes. And I just want to bring a quick highlight, because like apparently someone made a parody of Sirfetch'd with actually having Donald Duck from Kingdom Hearts as Sirfetch'd. I just actually retweeted this. It's like pretty interesting character design. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm good.
No, you're not sorry at all. You know, ironically enough, I do pride myself on my voice acting, or my attempts at voice acting. I don't know why I can't do a Donald Duck voice. I can do, like, his scream, which I won't do here because I have to, like, shake my head to do it. No, seriously, I can do the scream, but I can't, like, do his voice.
Well, now you gotta give it a shot. Now you can't just put that out there.
I will not do that.
No. Spare the audience.
No, yeah. Don't spare the torment the audience. Go for it.
No, I will not.
I wonder who's the agent of chaos here now.
Jeez. Ooh.
But yeah, I was. I was very much.
Just
chaos.
Wants
That's
to watch the world burn.
but I also think that you've already gone far enough with the Scottish accent, so.
Plus be bugpipes.
And Donald Duck in. You know, next segment, just do it. Ready? Go.
No, I'm not doing it. I honestly don't know how I would do it. I can do the scream because it almost feels natural with how I do it with my head. But with the voice, I wouldn't know how to project that. Not yet. Then again, I never thought I would be able to do the Mark Hamill Joker voice, and now I'm an expert. I've had people at Comic-Cons come to me and tell me, Todd, where's your Joker impersonation?
So, that's actually extremely good.
Thank you. But in contrast, I can't do the laugh.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
Oh, you just gotta harness that insanity, really.
That's
really
not
just
a problem
gotta go
for me, but it's the voice that's the problem. Okay, we're getting off topic here. so moving on, but still, I liked Sir Fetched, and I look forward to seeing what the next Pokemon is going to be, so stay tuned for more. All right, now heading into Super Smash Brothers news, because obviously we can't have a podcast without Smash Brothers news. All right, so first up, let's talk Sakurai. So Sakurai was at the Tokyo Game Show, and he was accepting an award. And during this, he talked about certain characters that will or will not be in the game. I think we talked about this last week, I think. And Iron Man and Goku have been confirmed to not be in Smash Brothers. But he also talked about the future of Smash Brothers and what it means to him. And he said, I'm sorry for bringing up this personal story at a time like this, but making Smash Brothers on the Switch was the last mission the late Satoru Iwata, the former president of Nintendo, gave to me, Sakurai said. I've put my all into this game, and with more DLC, I will continue to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's... I'm not crying!
Don't.
I know. But it's just like... The fact that Iwata told him, please make this for the Switch, which again, he was alive during the Wii U era and they were clearly already planning for the Switch. It's kind of heartbreaking.
Cause yeah.
It's like, that's the last thing, well, not the last thing, obviously, but it's like, that was like the last mission he gave him was to make Smash Brothers for Switch as epic as it could be. And clearly he succeeded, but it's just like, that's why they're going so hard on the DLC and now the future DLC and all that, so... That's heartbreaking.
It definitely puts perspective, like, especially, like, you always hear these stories of how developers make these games, and especially if it's, like, a passion project of sorts, but, like, to hear from Sakurai himself, like, again, from Satoru Iwata, like, ask him directly to him to make Smash Bros. For the Switch is, like, yeah, it really puts you in perspective, like, how much, like, Sakurai really does go all out to the point of, like, really harming himself to afford for this project. So, like, yeah. And only just to hear that extra motivation from the late Satoru Iwata, like, giving what that is that source of motivation for him is, like, wow. Like, you know, like, Sakurai really wants this thing done with justice.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can tell. I mean, Sakurai always puts so much effort into his work. But... Ultimate, it might be his most special project, and it's not a surprise that Iwata's influence is a part of that.
Yeah. Now, I apologize. I mentioned the Goku Iron Man thing. So apparently that was from last week, but it was the day after the podcast. So what happened was that he was talking about the next DLC characters, which have already been confirmed to be coming after the first fighter pack. And he said, I get all these kinds of questions from abroad, like, where is my beloved Iron Man? Where is my beloved Goku? However, basically, Smash will only have content from video games in it. And I know some people are thinking, but wait a minute, Todd. Doesn't Dragon Ball Z have like a plethora of video games? Same with Marvel and their properties? Yes, but those are video games based on non-video game properties. Whereas every other character in Smash Brothers has video game property birth and then has been spun off into things like comics and movies and manga and video and other TV shows and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. So I will admit that's kind of sad that we're not gonna get Goku because the internet literally would have exploded when that happened. But that's why God gave us mods.
Yeah, Sakurai's lied before. I'm gonna put that out there. Now, I will say there's two takeaways from this. One, what a step up for Iron Man. I mean, of all the heroes, he didn't say Spider-Man, he didn't say Batman, he didn't say Superman, he said Iron Man. That is the post MCU world that we live in. Shout out, that is impressive. Good work, Iron Guy. And Robert Downey Jr., of
Of
course.
course, of
The
course.
second takeaway is Sakurai is a liar. So he did tell us that Ridley was too big and that Ridley wasn't going to be entering the game. He always says, "Oh, I'm not sure about what our DLC plans are," when you know he knows what the DLC plans are.
Okay, well, hold
He
on. That's not fair. Okay, I
That
guess
is
I'll give you the
fair.
DLC stuff. Okay, I'll give you the DLC stuff because he has to be coy. There was a time when Ridley was too big. And that's just the truth, and that's why certain other characters weren't put in either, and also why like certain third party. If you had told him in Melee that they were going to have, where were we at, like 10, 12 third party characters in Smash Bros., he would say there's no way we're going to get that ability because of the contracts and the rights and the copyrights and all of that. That's not him lying. That's him saying at the present time that it's impossible. And at one time, I'm sure it was impossible for
No.
Ridley to be in Smash Bros.
Okay, hold on. Let's just think about the logistics of what they did. They made Ridley smaller. They could have done that at any point in time.
I'm not
And
denying that.
yeah, no, it's true. I mean, he always could have put Ridley in, he just didn't want to. And then now he's like, you know what? People really want Ridley. I'm going to put Ridley in.
And that's
And
what
the
he said.
same
He
thing.
said he did Ridley because the fans demanded it, and that's
Exactly.
why he was that was the first true
You know who
reveal
else the fans
trailer.
are demanding, Todd? Goku. So listen, I don't think he's going to be in this game for. I'm sure that I don't think he'll ever be in Smash Bros. Ever. I'm just saying it's not impossible because Sakurai, he likes to pull the wool over our eyes. He
Does.
True,
this is what he
true.
does. He
Yeah,
likes to surprise us.
but and to counter that, fans demanded Shovel Knight, and we got an assist trophy. There were a lot of fans who wanted Zero alongside Mega Man, and he did. We got an assist trophy. Crystal was the most asked for character for Super Smash Bros. Brawl and Wii U, and she was assist trophy. So there are times when fans demanded, a
No, true,
character,
true.
and
I
we
mean,
didn't get
listen, I'm
it.
not saying that he's definitely going to be in. Like I said, he's probably not going to be in. Just because the fans ask doesn't mean it's going to happen. But
But
I don't think this is going to stop anybody from saying, oh, I want Goku in still,
oh, of
because
course.
they know that Sakurai will occasionally surprise them and give them what they want.
Yeah.
And then sometimes he'll give us Terry Bogard. So
Hey,
it's.
he does play coy.
Did you watch the Death Battle episode I told you to?
Oh, I didn't yet. No,
Ugh.
I will. I will watch that after this, I
Watch
promise.
it and understand, all right?
Yeah.
Come on. So no, I totally understand this personally. Like Iron Man, I think I've only heard Iron Man a few times, and technically speaking, by the law of third party involvement, which I've stated multiple times, Iron Man can be in Smash Brothers because he's been in numerous games on the Nintendo platform, not the least of which was the very recent Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. But he's also been in certain fighting games on the Nintendo platform. He's been in terrible movie spin-offs of the games, including the absolutely terrible Iron Man 2 game, which I was forced to play on a vacation once. Couldn't even play it. It was that bad. But anyway, so it was plausible, but Goku was always the more popular because you could argue that the video game franchise for Dragon Ball is just as popular as the anime. Especially like Fighters like was
Oh,
like
yeah.
le legendary in its popularity, and a lot of people are already excited for a Dragon Ball Kakarot. So, that one was the one where a lot of people were like, "Man, this actually could happen." And so I'm a little sad because could you imagine the trailer? All right, just picture the trailer. Okay, you have Mario, all right, starting it all off. Then Link joins the fold. Then you have all the other pure fighting game characters start to join in. Ryu and Ken and Terry and I think I'm missing one. Who am I missing? Whatever. So they're to start duking it out, and then all of a sudden you hear like the the key energy sound effect go large, and they all turning their heads, and out from like have it on Skyworld, and then up comes Goku on flying Nimbus, going, "Oh, this looks like fun," and then Goku charges up his no, Goku goes Super Saiyan for Smash or something like that, and no, Goku's in Smash. We're just saying or something funny like that, and he just goes in and just goes crazy, and then the final Smash would be like him going Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan or something like that, and doing the Spirit Bomb or whatever, and that would be fun. Like the trailer would be like legendarily epic. But sadly, we're
Yes,
not going to
yes.
get that
I
at this
mean,
time.
it only gives rooms now of like what we can expect afterwards. Like, if not Goku, then who else? I mean, heck, Sora's now in the running most likely,
Oh, yeah.
and everything else in between. I mean, now it gives room. It gives room for other possibilities.
True. And a lot of people are saying now that, especially since the gaming world, let's call it, has been confirmed for Smash Brothers. Everyone's thinking Sora is going to be in there. He may not be number five on the Fighter Pass, but he will be in like the next wave, however many, because we don't know how many there are. All we know is that there is more DLC characters coming. So, yeah. Now, in regards to the fifth and final member of the Fighter Pass, the internet does what only the internet can do and takes a very simple, basic statement and explodes it into, "Oh my gosh, this character for Smash Brothers has been confirmed." So, for those of you who don't know, Scott Menville is a legendary voice actor. He's been a Robin in Teen Titans. He's on the Stretch Armstrong series on Netflix. He's done acting all over. If you remember Full House, he was Dwayne. Whoa. So, I'm sure like three of you got that reference. Just move on. Whatever. Whatever. Anyway, so Scott Menville made a post on the 18th stating, "I wish I could tell you this cool voiceover project I've been working on, but they had me sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, or as I like to call it, a nope, don't ask." What does this have to do with Smash Brothers? Well, Menville was the voice of Lloyd in Tales of Symphonia.
Thank
Well,
you.
you're welcome. Which was the fifth game in the legendary Bandai Namco Tales series, which was on the Nintendo GameCube and was arguably one of the biggest cult classics on the GameCube. And so obviously everyone is thinking that Lloyd is going to be in the game because he honestly has been one of the more requested characters among DLC and Japan, especially, who have always liked the Tales series more than America, has been asking for Lloyd as well. And so it goes to reason that if Lloyd is in the game, they're going to get Scott Menville because he voiced the character originally, kind of like they got David Hayter to do Snake. You hear that, Harada? Actually hiring David Hayter to do. I'm just saying. that's a dang fine ticket, Harada. Anyway, so internet, calm down. This is not confirmation. He didn't even say it was for a video game. All he said he was voicing a project, which could be live action. It could be, it could be a cartoon. Could be an anime. Could be a commercial. You don't know. He did not say video game, so stop thinking it's Lloyd just because of that. You don't know what. He is very popular. Trust me, I follow this guy, and we've
Devil's
honestly.
advocate, it's Lloyd.
Oh, gosh.
Lloyd had a Mii costume in Smash 4. He doesn't have one in Smash Ultimate. You know who else had a Mii costume in Smash 4 and doesn't have one in Smash Ultimate? King Crusher Rule. And he got added to the game. Lloyd has always made sense to me because Bandai Namco has worked on this game, and I assume that we're getting a Bandai Namco rep, and Lloyd is from an iconic franchise. His moveset would work perfectly. Here's the only problem. He might be too much like Hiro if they put him in, given that they're both. Well, he would be a sword and magic user in that sense. A Robin is similar. He would probably be much faster than Hiro. I'm sure that Sakurai could find a way to differentiate. Lloyd has an insane arsenal of moves that he could pull from to make it different. Just the idea that he could be a mage sword fighter. Although I don't know, does Lloyd learn magic? I assume that he does because, like,
Well, he is able to use magic swords. That's the one thing. In regards to like specifically magic itself, he's more of a swordsman fighter. I mean, there are some techniques, but he's not actually a magician based. He's not magic
okay.
based.
Yeah, I didn't think he was. So maybe not. Maybe he's just more of a
The
traditional
only
sword
thing
fighter.
that he's more of like very distinct about him is that he's a dual wielder. He wields dual
Ooh.
swords.
There you go. So I mean
Yeah.
that would make him very different if he's a dual wielder, because we do
He
not
would
have that in
be
Smash
a
Brothers.
lot of fun. I would really like to have him in the game. I enjoyed the Tales of series. I think that he would be a great addition for Bandai Namco. So I do think it's, I don't know if this project is Smash Bros. From the tweet that was referenced, but I do think Lloyd is going to make it. I do think he's going to be one of the
I
DLC
mean, it's
characters.
currently speculation right now. Let's be
Yeah.
let's again,
It's
let's leave it down right
infinite
now. It's just
speculation.
speculation.
He just said he
Yes.
got a job. That's it.
Yes, so stop blowing everything up. And yeah, it just if there is any kernel truth to this, like then like a lot unfortunately a lot of people are gonna give him bring the argument like it's another anime swordsman character. Like, jeez Louise. So yeah, that's the argument.
So again, it's just speculation. It's not confirmed. Calm the heck down. Could it be? Absolutely. Could it not be? Absolutely. We'll just have to see. Actually, before we get on, I do want to talk about this because we mentioned this. You and me, Tyler, had a little interesting conversation about this a couple podcasts ago. All of the DLC characters have been third party so far, emphasizing the whole Smash Brothers Cross thing. So it's possible that Lloyd would do that via, Smash Brothers Cross Tales of Symphonia, which would be fine. After the Fighter Pass, though, with all of these third-party characters we're getting, should the first character in the next wave, whatever, however many it be, should it be a first-party character?
I am torn on this because there's a lot of first-party Nintendo characters that I would like to see in the game, but I also love, there's something pure about Sakurai's mission to get as many game universes represented in Smash as possible. So even though I've never played Fatal Fury, I'm still cool with Terry because I think that, if Sakurai wants to add the Fatal Fury universe into Smash, that's awesome. Go do it. So I think it's going to be all third party. I do not think we're going to see a first party. I would like Dixie Kong. Everybody knows that, but I'm expecting third party.
Yeah, it's tricky because they could. I feel that they should do a first party at least one, because the reasoning for the third party is like you said, he's wanting to expand the gaming verse of what, Smash Brothers is. That's why we got Joker and then Hero and Banjo and Terry and Lloyd. I mean, no, not Lloyd. He's not confirmed yet. Oh, Shantae. We're totally gonna get Shantae and. Like that's cool and that's fine, but I do feel that there are a lot of first party characters that haven't been brought into the game and yet still could. And now that we have the extra DLC characters, which I honestly think at one time Sakurai didn't plan for. I mean, I'm sure the first five were planned for, before the game got released, and no doubt. But then when I think when they saw that they had, 12 million sales in a month, they were like, maybe we should keep this going. Get the sales going. What could go wrong? So in that case, and I know Tyler's going to scoff at this, but there is a first party character that Sakurai said that he would have liked to bring into the game but couldn't because of timing, and that was Rex from Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
You
And
disgust me, and if I ever hear you mention Rex being brought in again, I swear. No, it's very
you
possible.
what?
Yes.
I want to hear this. You would what?
I would never send you the $20 that I owe you. You would never see that $20.
Oh, I'm shivering in my boots.
You
However, am I
should.
gonna buy my next
You should.
pizza?
Yeah, well, you won't, is the answer.
Fine. Well, Sakurai said that he might be interested in bringing in Pyra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Totally not her companion, who she totally gets with at the end. And,
Whoa, spoilers. Why are we spoiling everything today? Except for the Pokemon thing.
Oh, who
We
cares?
spoiled Astral Chain's probably biggest plot twist,
Not really.
and
He only lightly touched upon it. That's nothing, trust me.
that's a major spoiler that honestly should be edited out. And
No.
we didn't
No.
and but we didn't want to mention the Pokemon, and then we spoiled whatever you just spoiled. I can't remember because I've been actually caught up on the Astral Chain thing for the last hour. So regardless, Todd, you know what, Todd? Keep going. I forgot where I'm at.
Yeah,
Just
clearly.
carry on.
Tyler rambling. This is why I'm the host.
It's the
Anyway,
radio.
but we're not on the radio. No, but there are a lot of first party characters I think could be brought in, and especially since timeline-wise, we're not gonna. We're there's no way we're getting another Smash Brothers in the Switch era. There's no way. They're gonna keep doing the DLC characters and then, you know, do a smaller, more refined, compact version for whatever system comes next. And that's fine. But, you know, they have it now. Like, I don't think that Pyra and her companion should be in the next Smash Brothers game because by that time we might have Xenoblade Chronicles 3
God
or
can only hope
X2.
we don't.
Shut up. Okay? And first of all, you don't know, for all you know, you could like Xenoblade Chronicles 3 with all your heart and soul.
I
We've
am going to buy the remake of 1 and I'm going to play it and I'm going to
There you
give it a
go.
fair chance. And if
There
I
you go.
don't like it, then I will not get 3, but.
Anyway, so I think personally there should be a first party character, at least one, because as much as I love having the third party characters, there's still a lot of first party characters that they can get out of the way now, and then if they don't want to put them in for the next game, that's their choice. So, but we'll see how it goes. All right, moving on. Luigi's Mansion 3 has had its official Nintendo eShop site put up. This was because they wanted to allow you to pre-download the game and pre-purchase before the October 31st release, so you can play it right when it comes out. But hidden among that was the reveal that there is going to be paid DLC for the game, and Nintendo and Next Level Games later confirmed this, that they're going to be adding like levels and other things to the Scarescraper and the Scream Park modes. Now, if you don't recall from the Nintendo Direct, the Scarescraper is kind of like your challenge mode. They're going to have you on different levels of the hotel in Luigi's Mansion 3 and give you a time limit to do certain activities. And then Scream Park is where you team up with up to 8 friends and try and defeat more ghosts than the other team. So they're really going heavy on the multiplayer DLC for this one, which is fine. I think it's fine.
You know what, Todd? I'm going to disagree with you. I don't like it. I'm drawing the line on Luigi's Mansion 3 having paid DLC. I think that one thing that, as Fire Emblem fans, we don't really talk about is how kind of scummy Fire Emblem's DLC is. They charge you a lot and they don't give you a lot. And I'm afraid that we're going to see that carry over. Nintendo's DLC generally is pretty good, although Smash Bros. Is super high priced as well. I think of Breath of the Wild's DLC. Both packs were phenomenal and at a pretty good price point for what you got, which was a ton of content. This is a multiplayer. These are multiplayer modes, and we don't know what's going to be added, so maybe it'll blow me away. But I feel as though this stuff should be in the base game, or free, a free update. I don't think Luigi's Mansion is the type of game that should be getting expensive paid DLC.
Like it's definitely an interesting case. Like as we know, like again, as you said, Nintendo has been generally fair in regards to their DLC practices, and you know, like in regards to like multiplayer games, like with like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe or any other of Nintendo's multiplayer party games, like DLC wise is not as like intrusive as like with other titles, like I don't know, like NBA 2K or something of that sort. But yeah, hearing that it's gonna be a paid DLC for a Mario game, like, and especially for the multiplayer mode in Luigi's Mansion 3, it just I can't help but feel like, it's like definitely a kind of a wait and see kind of deal. But it's just like it also gives that slight sense of worry of like, what are they gonna offer for this DLC? I mean, the last good DLC practice I'd probably say is probably since Splatoon 2 with the Octo expansion. So it's definitely has that sense of worry. Granted, granted.
Yeah, I mean, I probably won't get it because I mean, I don't think of Luigi's Mansion 3 as a multiplayer game. I think of it as single player, and I'll enjoy the single player, but I'll also, you know, wait a while before potentially replaying it. We'll just have to wait and see on that. But I don't know. It depends on really the price, because if it's like, you know, $10.99 and then we only get like level enhancements, no one's gonna buy it. But if it's like 99 cents, which they have done with DLC before, we'll see. So it just depends on, like we said, we don't know the full content. So, and for all we know, they could be adding another mode to Scarescraper and Scream Park. We just don't know. So we'll still have to be wait and be patient on that. All right, wrapping up before we head to our main event. Aside from Link's Awakening coming out tomorrow, there is also the new amiibo that are coming out tomorrow, which is what, Will?
It is either Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and Snake, or Ekans in some cases, which is
I love
pretty.
that they did that. That was hilarious. And of course, the Link's Awakening amiibo will also be released tomorrow. And
Yes,
then
yes.
there is also the Switch Lite, which is releasing tomorrow. So it's gonna be a nice big day for Nintendo. So very, I know we're not getting it ourselves, but let's do a quick prediction. How quickly do you think the Switch Lite will sell to a million?
That's a good question. I have no idea what the demand for this is, and it has been a really quiet release. I think we'll have to wait till the holiday for it to really find its market.
I mean, if to me, I'd probably say like give it a good solid season. It feels like even though with the many numbers of Nintendo Switch owners that's currently out there right now, I feel like for like newcomers, especially with that $100 discount, I think that may also push for like newcomers, especially if they just want the whole portable aspect of the system. So I'd probably say give it a season or so.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think because of the nature of it, it will sell well enough, but I don't know. It's I think more people are looking for, like, I think the battery one, the better battery life one was more of a demand than the Lite, and of course the potential Switch Pro coming out later on next year. You know, that one's gonna be good because of potential graphical updates and everything, but yeah, I don't know. I think maybe a month. You know, I don't think. I mean, it is coming out with Zelda, so potentially that could spur a growth, which I think Nintendo is kind of counting on. And of course, we got Pokemon coming out, Luigi's Mansion coming out. So for those who don't have it, they might see this as a gateway to get in while there's like a slightly cheaper console and everything. But I don't know. It's really hard to say. So.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm not sure how much Link's Awakening moves. Like, if you didn't buy a Switch for Breath of the Wild, are you going to buy a Switch for Link's Awakening? I'm sure that will be the tipping point for some people. I expect the Switch sales will increase due to the game's release. But will it increase that much? And will it increase for the Switch Lite? Like, do kids, are they going to want the game for its art style, which is probably a yes? Like, they're not going to want it because it's a remake of a cult 1993 classic. They don't know that the game came out in 1993. So I'm not totally sure how much Link's Awakening relates to Switch Lite sales, but we'll have to see.
All right, so for our main event, we're going to be talking a little bit about Link's Awakening, and then we're going to be talking about how the response has already been good, as well as I'll mention in a bit. But if this works for Link's Awakening, and we've seen other remakes from Nintendo in recent years, what other classics could get a remodel, remaking in a different style to shine just as brightly as they did in their original eras? And we're going to discuss this in a Nintendo discussion. At the time of this recording, the reviews are out for Link's Awakening, and I'm very happy to say that they are positive all across the board. IGN, 9.4 out of 10. GameSpot, 8 out of 10. Game Informer, 9 out of 10. US Gamer, 5 out of 5. GamesRadar, 4.5 out of 5. GamesBeat, 95 out of 100. Eurogame, Essential. Game Explained, liked a lot. I just read the comicbook.com one, 5 out of 5. It's positive all over the board. They say the art style works, the game is exactly how I remember it, but also with subtle tweaks to make it better. You know, the music, the art style, everything just jives. Very small issues across the board, but you know, no game breakers, and clearly this is going to have a high Metacritic rating. So that's perfect, because that was our biggest worry, especially for me, because I didn't like the cutesy art style at first. Because I remember Link's Awakening, that was my first Zelda game. I remember everything about it. I remember I only got 7 of the 8 instruments because I couldn't figure out how to get the 8th. I remember constantly going to the Windfish Egg and playing the song, even though I only had 7 instruments, in the hopes that somehow the Windfish just wouldn't care and would wake up so I could advance. I was young and naive. And now I was gonna make another joke, but never mind. So now with this in mind, we're going to pick a game from either the NES, Game Boy, Game Boy Color, or the NES eras and talk about what we think a remake of that title could be like, what it would be like, how it would look visually, and more. So, Tyler, this was your topic, so why don't you kick us off?
It was, and I do have two.
Okay, I'll allow two.
I will go with my first one is the obvious one, so I won't spend too much time on it. We actually talked about this in a news segment a couple months ago. Earthbound, remade in the clay.
Yes,
remade in the clay style that you'll see if you go onto the Earthbound wiki. You can see models, clay models of Ness, Paula, Jeff, and Pooh, and they're awesome. I would love to see the game remade like that. I think it would be gorgeous on Switch as Link's Awakening looks. The Nintendo has a lot of success with changing up styles of its tried and true franchises, like Kirby and Yoshi. So I think Earthbound kind of, if they were to re-release it, I would love to see them actually use the clay style. The second one is Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars.
Ooh,
I like it.
Cuphead 1920s animation. Now, that is an extreme pipe dream that will absolutely never happen. But I think it would be really, really cool to see an RPG in that style. Because when I think of that style, I think of the hitting somebody with a hammer and boink explodes. And, you know, that the actual word like launching over the head of the wounded guy. I think that Super Mario RPG, I choose that one because it's an RPG. And I think that you could get really creative with those old school animations. I think the characters would look great. The Mario series, you can easily picture, because I'm sure you've seen fans draw Mario in that art style. He fits it perfectly. You have Princess Peach, you have Geno, you have Mallow, you have Bowser, these really unique looking characters that would each kind of be super expressive as you would need to fit that style. It would be, it's tough for me to kind of picture it in game of how you would traverse the overworld, but you know, I think Nintendo could figure it out and just kind of in battle particularly, I think is where it would really, really shine.
Oh, like I can definitely see regarding to the Seven Stars, because like that rubber nose style, like classic 80s cartoon style with Mario, I mean, again, it's definitely a good way to like bring an old art style into the modern age. I feel like they could definitely do that. Yeah, definitely see that.
I definitely approve of a remake of Super Mario RPG, because obviously without that we wouldn't have Paper Mario.
Right.
So, you know, the Cuphead style, man, that would be very interesting, wouldn't it? Dang, that would probably take a long time though. But
I guess take a really long time. I know it would never happen. It's a dream, I think it would be cool.
We have to dream, though. We have to dream.
You're right.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten Ridley and K. Rool and Smash Brothers.
Exactly, and Goku. So,
and we're still waiting on Geno, obviously, because he's been requested forever too, Tyler.
Yes, he has.
Okay, as for me, I'm gonna go. I guess you could go a little basic, but I want to pull a feint really quick. We all have games that we would want to make. A remake, you know, a classic style. But there is one game I refuse to ever have remade. If Nintendo decides to remake this game, I will find them. And, well, you know the rest of Taken. So,
Xenoblade Chronicles 2. It should never see the light of day again.
That's not on the NES, GB, or the SNES. Let your hatred go. Alright, stop ruining my joke. Okay? There is one game that should never be remade, and you both know exactly what it is. Duck Hunt. All right, that
really?
Dog is still mocking us. I refuse to have him mock me in HD. All right,
really?
I don't want it. It should never happen. I don't care. If I see that dog mocking me outside of his Smash Brothers trailer in HD, I will hurt somebody.
I agree with you, Todd. I agree with you 100%. One, it's not as charming without the zapper. Like, you have to have the old school bulky.
Well, in that case, they missed their opportunity, because the time to remake it would have been for the Wii, when they had the Wii zapper.
Right.
So, they can't do it now. So, no Duck Hunt. It's gone. Now, as for what I feel should be remade, I'm going to go really classic. Super Metroid.
Okay.
Because we already know that this can work because of Metroid Samus Returns, which was a remake of the GB game Return of Samus, which is the second official game in the franchise. So, and Super Metroid was really the game that truly cemented Samus as legend. All right, like Metroid set the stage, the reveal of Samus was epic, Return of Samus was good, and then Super Metroid just blew everyone out of the water. This was on the SNES. It was one of the last games of Gunpei Yokoi, and he just went all out. The massive levels, Mother Brain, the storyline, the Metroid, all of it. So now imagine it in like, Super HD, like what they did with Metroid Samus Returns, but now on the Switch with the HD graphics, the knowledge of what Metroid Samus Returns did with like the 360 aiming, which was awesome. The small, like just like they did with Link's Awakening. There we go. The small improvements, the small refinings that were limiting in the SNES era, but now are a thing of the past because of technology. Having Samus face off against Mother Brain, having actual cutscenes. You could have the cutscenes like they did. Look, Metroid Other M was terrible, but the cutscene of her versus Mother Brain with the Metroid was amazing. All right, time to go, and her blasting Mother Brain to high heaven and watching the Metroid die in HD. That was really cool. So now imagine it even more improved and actually having it in the game. All right, and being able to relive that classic adventure on the Switch, that would be worth it. And again, if they were to time it right, they could get it done before Metroid Prime 4. So, adding more hype for the title.
Right. No, that's a great one,
Coming
definitely.
2025.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
So.
I guess for me, mine's got a bit of an oddball choice, honestly. Like
Wait,
this
you
one
picking an
kind
oddball game? Wow, I would never have thought of
Will,
that.
Skies of Arcadia is not available as a choice.
Yes, yeah.
Don't worry, I'm not
That's off
chosen
the board.
that. It's not even on the GBA. And for me, I'm really curious. I actually want to get this thing remake, and I want to get Mario Paint be remake for the Switch. I don't know. I know it's a strange choice, but regarding to the new update of the Switch version, we actually can use a stylus.
No, but
I
what's
feel
the
like
art style? The art style.
I mean, I guess in regarding to art style wise, I guess in something similar to a retro flair, but at the same time maybe could be used of, I don't know. I'm getting in my mind something in style, something in tune with Art Academy of that sort. I know, I'm just kind of it's really odd there, but I just really want something of a Mario Paint remake for Nintendo Switch. But I don't know what kind of art style, but I'm thinking of something along the lines like Art Academy, and I don't know. Almost to the point, even painting styles, with Breath of the Wild cel shade. I don't know. It's an art style kind of game, so it's kind of a bit of it's really up to the artist. But I feel like it could definitely work well on the Switch. I know, and it's a strange choice. But another pipe dream title that I kind of wish they remake, which highly unlikely, but it was on the SNES, and I just really want to hope. Hopefully, maybe someday we get a remake of Chrono Trigger. Because I know
Oh.
it's we have Akira Toriyama, Sakaguchi, and Yoshinori Mitsuda have to make this game back during the Squaresoft days, back in the SNES. And I know it's unlikely, but I can only imagine how it would be like in current gen, especially on the Switch. I mean, heck, we've seen Octopath Traveler, I Am Setsuna, all these classic RPGs that try to capture that essence from Chrono Trigger. And now with Trials of Mana of that sort, and I can only imagine how it is if we remake Chrono Trigger to modern age. It's just it would be so amazing, bring back the Dream Team once again. I mean, again, highly unlikely because again, Akira Toriyama, Sakaguchi is his own company, and Mitsuda, I don't know what he's doing now, but it would be just so amazing. The game that's back in 1995 that coined the phrase New Game Plus to be back in this current generation would be pretty amazing if you ask me. But again, it's a pipe dream kind of title for
No,
me.
I think that in the Octopath Traveler art style would be sweet. I mean, I know that it's kind of a natural evolution for because people would want it in a full I don't think that people who really want a remake of it would be too pleased because it's similar, but I think it would be sweet to see it in that Octopath style.
I think people would want to see Chrono Trigger in a stylized version of the Final Fantasy VII remake style.
Agreed. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's definitely what people would want to
Like
play.
having Chrono and Magus and Masamune and all of them like hyper re-rendered, but still almost like Dragon Quest XI style. Like that one I feel is perfect Chrono Trigger style. And then, to go full force, keep the animated cutscenes, maybe enhance them a little bit, have voice acting. Go full-fledged on it, and maybe add like one more ending to the 25 they already have. So, like you want to talk games trend setting? They had like a two, like was it 8 or 9 different endings?
Yeah, multiple endings, yes, multiple
Yeah, so
endings.
like there you go. That's pretty cool. So, I think Chrono Trigger could work, but yeah, it's just that's the thing with these remakes is that. We get them occasionally, and they're made like we got Metroid Samus Returns, and then we got, they did Mario's Superstar Saga. That was pretty interesting. And now we're getting, Link's Awakening with the cutesy chibi art style, and like, what could Nintendo possibly think of next? Because this is gonna sell, because as even though there was the original on Game Boy and the remake on, I think, GBA, there's still a lot of people who have never played Link's Awakening, and now they have the Switch with it, a fully upgraded, fully remade version, and then with the dungeon crawler and all of that. This is gonna sell. This is gonna be a million seller within a day, even if it's just the hardcore Zelda fans wanting to replay Link's Awakening again, like me. So Nintendo's gonna see this and they're gonna be like, okay, pulls a picture of all the library of titles. So who do we make remake next?
Right.
So, yeah, it's. Oh gosh, there are so many possibilities, and we haven't even touched on some of them, like Donkey Kong Country.
Okay.
I did think about that too, but I couldn't come up with a good style for it.
Well,
Like,
like just remake it in the Donkey Kong Country Returns style or Tropical Freeze style.
yeah, I
Like
mean, that would
totally
be
remake.
gorgeous.
And since they're buddy buddy with Microsoft, they probably can get King K. Rool back and like have him in his Smash Brothers
King K.
form.
Rool's a Nintendo character.
Yeah, but there was a weird thing because it was
There's not.
Rare
He's
who
just
made
straight
him.
up a Nintendo character.
Technically, so
And Nintendo has the rights to all Donkey Kong characters. Like
okay, that's
Lanky
good to
Kong,
know.
that's a Nintendo character.
I just know that there are some characters that are kind of frugal, and that's why King K. Rool hasn't shown up since Donkey Kong 64.
No, he just hasn't shown up because they wanted to create their own characters. Nintendo doesn't have a connection to King K. Rool, Donkey Kong fans do. They've always kind of wanted to make their own characters. That's why they went with the Snowman as well. It's really, it has nothing to do with the rights to King K. Rool, just
Fascinating. I always
100%.
thought it was a rights issue.
Yeah, no, it's not actually.
Oh well, that makes it even better. So now we know they can, totally bring back King K. Rool if they
Yeah.
remake Donkey Kong Country. And then, how about the original Mario Kart? You just you
Oh,
sli you you
okay.
keep the tracks exactly how they are. You just bring them up to like modern cartooning style. You don't change the camera, you keep it exactly how it was to keep that feel, but you just update the graphics, update the multiplayer modes, like go full force on it in a, stylized way. Almost kind of like how you were saying with Cuphead, the Cuphead Mario RPG game, but just, do the same thing with Mario Kart, because that was part of the fun. That Mario Kart was so fun was because of the different camera angles than we got in 64 and beyond. So, that would be cool.
Yeah, I think like with Mario Kart, 8 Deluxe is just so far the best
It is.
that I don't know if I would want to, even though it would be cool to see like the original updated, I don't know if I'd want Nintendo to spend their efforts doing that. I'd rather them, if they were going to do that, I'd rather them just add all the tracks into 8 Deluxe via DLC and do it that way. I believe actually Guardian, on a slightly related note, before we wrap things up, The Guardian released a top 50 games of all time, and I don't really think this list was that great, but Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was 22nd on the list, and the second place game was Breath of the Wild.
Really?
Yes. I saw that. I saw that. Yes.
The first place game was Minecraft, so that does
Lame.
speak to, but
I will never ever forget when G4, rest in peace, released their 100 greatest video games of all time. And I was so happy when I saw some of these things. I was happy that certain Zelda games got on there, and all I could think about going into this was, where is Ocarina of Time going to be? And we get to like number 15 spot, it's not there, and I'm like, okay, this is fine, it's gonna be there in a minute. And I'm like, we're get to like 13, and I'm like, oh, it's gonna be top 10. I wonder if it'll be like top 5, top 2, top 1. It's number 11, and I lose my mind. I lose it. I'm like, you disrespect. And then the game right above that was World of Warcraft. I refuse to believe that World of Warcraft is better than that. And they have BioShock at number 3. And now, granted, number 2 was Link to the Past, and number 1 was the original Super Mario Bros. So I gave them a small amount of forgiveness, but the fact that they didn't put what numerous magazines and other sites had said that it was the number 1 game of all time at number 11, it almost felt like they were doing it out of spite. I mean, it's I'll never forget that. And then Link's Awakening wasn't on there. They had Mario 64 was on there. Donkey Kong was on there. I don't remember which one though. Smash Brothers was obviously on there. Lots of great lots of great Nintendo games represented, but yeah, they screwed over
I just
Ocarina of
kind of
Time.
help I just can't help but wonder, like, regarding to who makes these lists. Like, granted, there are bias in their own way, but, like, it's almost to the point, like, they don't respect the tradition. They don't respect the ones that saved the industry in the first place. I mean, again, Super Mario 64, invented 3D world gaming. Ocarina of Time is just, like, pretty much gives you that first open world game ever. So, they do not respect. No respect.
Yep, I hear you, man. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, if we were asked to make like the top 10 Nintendo games of all time, all three of our lists would be different. I mean, we probably have some similar games like
Oh yeah.
Ocarina, or maybe even Breath of the
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Wild, or
Definitely
Skies
Breath
of
of the Wild,
Arcadia,
man.
and everything. But no, nothing from Will? Okay.
It's not a
It's
Nintendo
not?
game. It's not a Nintendo game, Atali. It's
What
not. It's
was it
not.
on?
Well,
It was
I mean, it
originally
was on
on
a
the
Nintendo console,
Dreamcast.
but
It
Dreamcast.
was on
It was
the
on a Dreamcast.
Dreamcast,
So
and
I thought it was on GameCube for some reason.
it was
It
ported to the
was,
GameCube. It was ported to
oh,
the
okay.
GameCube.
Okay, so I was halfway right. Anyway, so but still, like that, our list would be different. So maybe we probably will have to do that one day and like release it
Oh,
over the course of like
definitely.
3 weeks and just see, and then debate on week 4. So,
Right.
all right. So, as we end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, not yet, Tyler. Not yet.
Well, I
I
was
do.
ready this time too. I was
I'm sure
actually
you were.
ready.
I'm giving you extra time now. Next week, if you hadn't noticed, is our 150th episode. And so next week, barring an epic level news event, we are going to have a kind of a party edition of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. We are bringing on some of our old friends, hopefully. We're still working out who, but we are hoping to bring back some of our old friends, and then we'll do some fun topics, maybe bring back quiz time, and just have a good old time celebrating Nintendo, our lives as gamers, and everything else. And of course, being a podcast for 150 episodes. So we do hope you will stay tuned for that. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you what big Nintendo franchise you would like to see get a major release in 2020, and 67% of you said Star Fox. That was out beating out Mario and Donkey Kong with 17% each, and nobody wanted to see Metroid, which was intriguing to me because Metroid is fairly often high demand or highly demanded.
Well, sometimes you just don't know who's going to be at the poll.
That's
So,
true.
all right. So this week's poll question. Let's just do. Do we want to do it on the games we chose to remake, or should we do something else?
Yeah, let's do something else.
Okay. Let's see. I
How
don't know.
about which handheld Zelda game is your favorite?
I like it. I like it. Let's do Link's Awakening. In one, like one, put Oracle of Ages slash Seasons. That's just put one there. Minish Cap, because that one had a very big cult following. And let's see. Phantom Hourglass. Phantom Hourglass slash, what was the other one?
Spirit Tracks. I'm going to leave Spirit Tracks off because that one was
Okay, yeah.
not.
Okay, Phantom Hourglass. So Link's Awakening, Oracle of Ages slash Seasons, Minish Cap. Or spear, Phantom Hourglass. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Perfect.
All right, so let us know that, and of course, let us know what you think of all the other news we've dropped today. Are you excited for Link's Awakening tomorrow, and are you going to get it? Are you okay with Luigi's Mansion having paid DLC? Who do you think will be the next character in Smash Brothers? We all know we're probably going to be wrong. I doubt half of us, a third of us, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth had Terry Bogard, so there you go. What do you think of Sirfetch'd and my Scottish accent, which I know is very good? And of course, are you happy that Ash Ketchum is finally a Pokemon League champion? Do let us know. So, for Tellius Tyler and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.